The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
I mentioned at the start of the programme, I still think it's a cracking story. The Prime Minister of Norway, who's been fined for breaching her own government's COVID-19 restrictions, she planned a meal with 13 other people for her 60th birthday celebrations at a restaurant in Norway for the end of February. The public gatherings in Norway, they're more generous there than we are in this country. They're limited to 10 people, but she went for 14 people. She actually pulled out of it at the last minute, but the police still held her jointly responsible for organising it. So she has been fined at the equivalent of nearly €2,000. Pete Lunn joins us, the head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. Pete, thank you very much for joining us. Very interested by the reports that the amount of travel on our roads has gone up quite significantly, despite the 5 kilometre limit for movement still being in existence. What do you make of that?
Yeah, we have seen that in our own data as well. So we see that people are making slightly more journeys to work. So we can see that's occurring both among essential and non-essential workers. The amount of people who are visiting a workplace each week has gone up. So it's less than half of workers are doing this, and they're not doing it every day, but it's just been a kind of steady increase over recent weeks that we see. And we've seen that not just across workplace behaviour, but across other behaviours as well. Although one thing I would say is in our most recent data, it might have flattened out a little. So we'd seen quite an increase in mobility between February and March. But during March, we had two waves of data, and there's not a huge difference between them. A little bit more of people going to workplaces, but quite similar.
Have you been able to discover if it's people have just decided they want to go in because they're fed up at home, or whether their employers are actually bringing them in?
So the large majority of people say they have to go in, that it's essential. Among those who don't, there's a minority who will say, look, it's my preference to go in. And that's increased a little bit, but it's only sort of around or a little less than 10% of the people who are going to workplaces. And then there's a smaller minority again who say they feel under pressure to go in. Now, that's less than 5%, but we can measure them. So there are a small number of workers who feel there's some kind of pressure from their employer to go in. But the large majority are saying either that it's essential, or in a smaller number of cases, it's a preference.
And what about the numbers travelling more than 5 kilometres for things like leisure activities? Are they on the rise as well?
We can see an increase in the amount of people going out for multiple reasons. So more people going outside, more people going to different kinds of shops. I should stress it's not a very big effect, but it is there. It's a sort of slow but steady increase that's been going on for some time. And some of it may be anticipatory with restrictions lifting. What I would say, though, is we don't see in our latest wave of data, we don't see in the last 2 or 3 weeks an increase in the number of close contacts. A little bit the number of people who are being met. So there's a slight increase in how many people an individual is likely to meet outside their household. So the average there is around 2 people in a 48-hour period. But around half the population, just under half actually, don't meet anybody from another household during a given 48-hour period. But there's been a slight increase in the numbers met by those who do, but not in this latest round an increase in close contact. So again, it's a little bit of a mixed picture what's happening at the moment, but the overall generalisation that I would stick with is that there's been another very slight increase in social activity, but it's not large.
Okay, because are you confident, Pete, that people are being truthful in their responses to the surveys, that they're not telling the surveyors what they think they want to hear, and particularly they're not prepared to admit to breaking the rules?
Yeah, I'd be very confident, actually. I mean, we harmonise data across multiple data sources and check that what we find is consistent. And importantly, we also model people's behaviour. Now, what I mean by that is we use large statistical models to relate the behaviours that people tell us about to other psychological factors, things like how worried they are about the virus, how they trade off the burden of the restrictions against the importance of spreading infection, what their current level of well-being is, and so on. And we find systematic patterns in all of this data where people's behavior, what they get up to, is linked to those kind of psychological variables that we measure on them as well. And the other thing I'd say to you, Matt, is, I mean, there's no cost to people fessing up to us what they've been up to in these studies. It's entirely anonymous. It's done online. They just log into an online portal and it asks them in a very neutral and matter-of-fact way, you know, what have you been up to in the last day or two? How many people have you met, and so on? So, yeah, I'd be confident that we're measuring systematic and reasonably accurate data. There may be some underreporting in it, but the trends that we're getting over time, I would be confident reflect reality.
Okay, there's a listener here, Mike, who texts this in, and he says the only place that level 5 is in the government press releases. Everywhere else it's level 2. In my town it's almost business as normal, roads extremely busy all day, especially at rush hours, supermarkets packed and most selling clothes and other non-essentials. Majority of shops that were closed in January have quietly reopened. Pubs serving takeaway pints at night. Restaurants are all doing takeaways all day. Lads doing GAA training in small groups. Now, I don't know whether he's exaggerating, but I have to say that even living in Dublin, I would have noticed that there is a lot of that sort of activity is quietly happening, and there are an awful lot more people who are gathering, sitting up by the canal or by the River Dodder or whatever, having drinks together, people meeting up, which seems to fly in the face of an awful lot of these stats.
Yeah, I think that's why it's really important, Matt, to take these stats and try and measure things properly, because anecdotes aren't reliable. I mean, I don't know where that person lives, and you know, maybe what they're reporting is completely accurate. What I do know is there are systematic misperceptions because people exaggerate what they see compared to what they don't. I do most of my work sitting up here in an upstairs room looking out over Terrace Street, where I see the entrances to about 12 to 15 properties. I can tell you what I see matches my data perfectly, which is that there are some people who are going out regularly and meeting up with others, but they're a minority. The large majority of people don't engage in any kind of social visits and are very rarely going out at the moment. And most of the cars in my street spend their time parked, so it's harder to park than it usually is. Now, that matches my data perfectly in that, yes, there's an increase in activity, and I've seen that increase in activity. It's confined to a minority who are more active. But it's not the case that, you know, there is a majority of people that have decided to give up here. And in fact, quite the reverse. The majority are sticking to the restrictions and doing what's asked of them. And that's exactly what we see in the data. You've got to watch out for anecdotes, and you've got to watch out for the fact that people's perceptions are systematically biased by what they see. You see people out and about socializing. You don't see the people who are behind their closed doors, who are being more cautious than usual and are not going out. So you're biased towards the activity you can see.
I know, but I suppose I can say it like that. If I'm taking my dog for a walk, it is noticeable that by comparison, but certainly this time last year when we had a very strict lockdown, but even in the early months of this year, there are way more people out and about than there would have been. Okay, you could say there's lots of other people taking dogs for a walk like I am, but I do see as well more places that are maybe doing sly click and collect and whatever.
Yeah, so we do see that. I mean, I am telling you there's been an increase in activity. There has. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely right. So we do see an increase in shopping activity. We see an increase in outdoor activity. We see an increase in the number of people who are being met. I just think it's easy to exaggerate the size of this. I mean, you're seeing an increase. Some of it is compliant behavior. Some of it is non-compliant behavior. And one of the things that we've been stressing quite strongly is the thing that is most concerning actually is an increase in social visits to people's homes. Now, that happened between February and March, roughly speaking, or actually between the end of January and early March, where there was an increase in the number of social visits to people's homes. That's problematic because it's risky from an infection point of view. And although it's a minority of people who are doing it, we definitely measure that. And that's problematic from a policy point of view and needs to be considered. So I'm not in any way suggesting there aren't increases here. In fact, quite the reverse, Matt. I'm reporting increases and we see it in the statistics. I'm just suggesting you have to be really careful about how you interpret that. People are pushing the boundaries of the restrictions. I agree. People are socializing more, both in a compliant way and in some cases among a minority in a non-compliant way. But there is no suggestion at all of an abandonment of the strategy or an abandonment of the restrictions or people giving up. And in fact, in our data, quite the reverse.
Very interesting. By the way, Mike has been back in touch again. He says he's not exaggerating and the tone he's in is in Clonmel. So he asks us to send a reporter down. We may actually have to do so. All right, Pete Lund from the ESRI, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.